Our scripture this morning comes from three places in the New Testament. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Our first scripture is Acts 6, 1 through 7. The Pew Bible number, page number, is 952. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait tables. Therefore, friends, select among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many priests became obedient to the faith. Our second scripture comes from 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. In the Pew Bible, that is page 1035. Deacons, likewise, must be serious, not double-tongued, not indulging in much wine, not greedy for money. They must hold fast to the mystery of the faith with clear conscience. And let them be first tested, then if they prove themselves blameless, let them serve as deacons. Women, likewise, must be serious, not slanderers, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be married only once, and let them manage their children and their households well. For those who serve as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Our last verses come from Romans 16, 1 through 2. The Pew Bible page is 989. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Synchrae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints.
Thank you all who have shared in music and in word and in so many ways today. We're gathered here as a body of believers in the name of Jesus the Christ in order to set aside and ordain Susan Allen to the work of Christian ministry as deacon. But I hope it will also serve as a reminder for all of us, not only clergy, deacons, but those who take on leadership roles in the church, whether through committees, teaching, or in so many other ways, of the call, the responsibility, and the commitment that we have in Jesus. The times are changing rapidly, as you're well aware. People are everywhere. There are threats to the well-being of the church in some places. People are in the dawn of a new age with all of its uncertainties. So many things, secular and religious, and pseudo-religious, clamor for our attention. Groups are fighting both inside and outside the church. And the real question is, can the church survive into the future? Sounds very familiar. And we have talked in the past some about this. But these are some of the things that faced the early church, not just the church today. Not just the postmodern church, but the church in the book of Acts and beyond. These are things that have plagued the church throughout its history. But I want us to look at what challenges there were, and there are, how they were met, and the call that issues for us today, and to see how this relates to our gathered purpose on this occasion, a purpose that involves worship as well as the setting aside of one for ministry. First, we see the challenges in Acts chapter 6. There were challenges to the fledgling church from outside, from synagogues, from Greek philosophers, from Romans. The church faced many challenges, but the church faces many challenges today, even from the outside world. While in this country, overt persecution is not a problem for most churches. Hectic paces of life, entertainment and work, a lack of a sense of responsibility or accountability, and even a shopper's mentality about churches all challenge us as God's people. The church in Acts was challenged from the inside as well. As we know, there was a near split over ministry, not doctrine, but ministry. It occurred between the Hebrew and Hellenistic Christians. That was over the caring for widows and orphans and the outcast and the marginalized. The disputes not only caused ill will inside the church, but probably created a stir in the community outside as well. News spreads quickly. And this type of news creates havoc with a church's reputation and a church's ability to make a difference in the world around it. Rather than erring on the side of grace and forgiveness, for a time, rancor reigned in that early church. However, in the face of difficulties that could have spelled doom for the entire church in its fledgling years, the response of the apostles and the church as a whole helped the church to move forward instead of foundering. They elected people to deacon, to serve. Being a deacon was and is not in order to have a position or for those who seek honor. As we have mentioned many times before, the term deacon is actually a verb. It's a verb that calls for honorable service to others. And in Acts 6, it is in the infinitive form, to serve tables. Notice the service demanded of the early deacons. As we've mentioned, caring for those in need, widows, orphans, even waiting tables, even helping others find a job, praying and doing. And you'll also notice that Stephen, chief among the deacons, became a teacher and debater on behalf of the church. The qualifications were rather simple at first. Deacons were to have a good reputation, be full of wisdom, not merely a wise guy, full of the Spirit. And also, they must be faithful to the church and its mission. That didn't mean that deacons would never fail in service. Deacons are human, as are clergy, as are laity, as are we all. But what it did mean was that they would never fail to get up and continue to move forward with God's help and the help of each other. This was a challenge faced by the early church. And Susan, you will face it from this day forward in different ways. I know you face it every day, as we all do, but you will face it in different ways even now. It is another step in your pilgrimage with God. A step of great responsibility, but a step that you do not face alone. For there are many to help who also serve God. In fact, we are all called to cooperate and work together. Not just Susan, who is being set aside today, but each person on this list who accepted a call to serve in some capacity, and others who will accept calls to serve. You know, many of us talk about putting God first. And many in the church as a whole talk about putting God first and family next. But far too many put the church way down the list, if not last. A part of God being first is putting the church near the top of the list as well. A part of putting God first is doing the work of the church together, being faithfully present and cooperating together in positive ways to carry out the missions to which we are called. And that is a great responsibility that Susan does not face alone, and that we all do not face alone. It is a responsibility and a privilege of service that we face together with God's help. However, as the church developed, other expectations developed for deacons as well. Some of those found their way into the passage that Ken read a few moments ago from 1 Timothy. A deacon is to be serious. The King James Version says sober. But what that means is not overly frivolous and serious-minded when it comes to Bible study. And it comes to looking at the needs of the church and family. A deacon is not to be double-tongued for honesty and integrity in action and speech are very important. But you know, it's not just important for deacons. It is important for all of us who are God's children. And this relates to dealing with other people both inside and outside of the church. We are to be careful about looking out for ourselves at the expense of relationships with others. For when we expend those relationships, we also have an expense in our relationship with God. Deacons are to hold fast the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They are to constantly study and pray and deepen their relationships with God, to seek to grow and to help others grow. Loving God sincerely with the mind as well as the heart. Deacons are also to seek the good in others. That's what it means when it says not slanderers. To be temperate and faithful in all things. And all of these are to be for God's glory and the ministry of the church, not for the glory or ministry of the individual. We also see Paul's commendation of Phoebe as deacon, recognizing that we are all called by God and we are all equal in Christ Jesus. In fact, he uses the term "husan diakonon." She was in substance and reality deacon in the church at Synchrae. Deacon service was available to all Christians who had the qualities mentioned in both Acts and in Timothy, regardless of gender or nationality. And it was both a recognition of those characteristics and a sign of confidence by the individual church. Susan, your selection to serve as a deacon in First Baptist Piedmont is also a recognition of characteristics and character, a sign of confidence by this church. and a pledge to serve alongside of you as you serve with us. Carlisle Marney, in his book Priests to Each Other, writes that Christians are to remember several things as we serve and minister together. First of all, the highest calling is to be a Christian, not to be a vocational minister, not even to be a deacon. The highest calling is that to be a Christian. Remember that we are appointed to serve people and God on their behalf, remembering that we have weaknesses as well. We're still sinners, but we are forgiven sinners. God expects His people to be prudent and gentle when helping others learn from mistakes, because we are given the privilege by God to learn from ours. Unfortunately, many Christians forget this and can be among the cruelest of people. But a part of deacon service is to live out God's gentleness and compassion. Susan, I would give you a charge, but also remind all of us, whether deacons, clergy, on this list of officers or others, that we are called to be leaders in ministry who constantly seek to better understand God's call on life, who see ourselves as servant leaders, not CEOs or boards of directors, who are team builders and cooperators, who are priestly leaders that seek the best for the whole, are statespersons who listen to all and prayerfully consider the options, who are not afraid to admit a lack of answers and therefore to seek informed help and understanding, and who are wise and patient, recognizing that fruit grows slowly with its own incubation period in God's timetable. You have had many examples of this kind of loving service in your life, and like many of us, you have probably seen some very poor examples as well. After all, the church is not perfect. This is a day of honor and privilege, but a day also to remember the history of God as seen in the Bible, because God never gives honor or privilege without expecting responsible service in return. Deacon service is a life lived in honor of the Christ for God's glory. And it is my prayer that Christ's life will shine forth even more in your life as a deacon, and then in the lives of those whom you touch. And to that I would say amen and amen. Susan, would you stand, please? Susan, do you promise to seek to walk as a worthy person of the service of deacon to which you have been called? Will you seek always to bring honor to the name and life of Jesus as your Lord? Do you promise to work diligently and faithfully, accepting the confidence of the church and the responsibility to minister as a deacon of First Baptist Church? If so, say, I do. And now, church family, do you members of this fellowship acknowledge Susan Allen as a deacon of First Baptist Church? And will you promise to encourage her, pray for her, and cooperate with her in attempting to fulfill the ministry and mission of the church? If so, I would ask you to stand. Susan, the auditorium is standing in their promise to pray and work with you and their commitment with you. You all may be seated. At this time, in a tradition that we find in Acts chapter 6, I would invite Susan to kneel in a moment and invite all of those who are ordained clergy and deacons to come forward as we lay hands on our fellow deacon servant, Susan Allen. But may this also be a reminder of our calling from God to serve. The towel is a symbol of service to God and service to others. Any clergy, ordained clergy or ordained deacons who would like, come and please share with Susan. Our most gracious God, we are humbled by your love and your care for us and your call to us. May we remember that we are never so tall as when we are on our knees before you. But Lord, we now pray for Susan. We pray for your love, for your guidance, for your grace. But most of all, we pray for your giving heart to surround her, to fill her, and to work through her in wisdom and love and grace. We plead that you will give her the strength that she needs, and we ask that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, will continue to touch and guide her and through her all of those around her. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Before we have our concluding hymn, I'd like to ask Susan's family, all of her family that are here, to please stand. These are folks who have touched Susan and whose lives Susan touches. And we will continue to be in prayer for all of you. And we thank you for coming and for sharing in this special time together. Thank you. You may be seated, Susan, if you would sit as well. We are going to sing one verse of our hymn of decision. Not only has Susan committed herself to this particular plea, O Master, let me walk with Thee, but each of us do so regularly. But especially today, as we have also been called to serve with her in leadership roles in First Baptist Church, Piedmont. As we stand and sing the first verse of hymn number 369, O Master, let me walk with Thee. And our altar is open for any who would come making a decision, either for Christ, publicly, to become a part of our fellowship here, or to recommit ourselves to His calling on our lives. Hymn number 369, O Master, let me walk with Thee.